Hello and welcome to episode 23 of Pod ZCCG. This is Brandon.
This is Brad.
And we have a special guest today. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
I'm Matt from Top Tier.
Oh, and we had speculation that it was Dark Cloak.
Yeah, Dustin.
Yeah, doesn't know his royalty here. Obviously, he was thinking it was Deadly Cloak, but no. I think if we would have him on, Brad would just not be able to speak out of sheer excitement.
He's one of the coolest people I've ever met.
He really is. And it's amazing how he remembered me from the brief interactions we had 10 years later. He knew my name and everything. I felt excited. What's up? I'll just leave her out there for a little bit.
Oh, okay. She was just crying. I was wondering why.
Yeah. We'll get her in a minute.
Okay.
My dog went inside the recording studio.
A.K.A. your garage.
Yeah. And so, because she just causes a ruckus when she's in here, so we can't have her in here. So, what we wanted to go over today was the Lancaster 1K event that happened on 4/23, April 23rd, 2016. And I know we talked about this, Matt, on the way back up, but that was probably one of the funnest tournaments we've been to.
I agree. Yeah, it was definitely really fun. Even though it wasn't ran very well, the tournament felt fun just because all the players didn't show up.
Right. I'm sure we'll get into it, but I especially loved how there was no table system with numbers. You basically just had to find your opponent and sit down and play.
Yeah, and I even questioned them about it, and they looked at me like they had no idea what I was talking about.
Is it safe to say that SoCal is the new Yuba City?
Lancaster is.
Lancaster, yeah. Okay. Yeah, we could say Lancaster. That's the new Slifer Red. we get there around 10 o'clock. Both, actually, Kelly and...
Hold on. If they're the new Slifer Red, what's that make flashbacks? Like Joey's basement?
Pretty much. So both Kelly, who we went with, and myself put up tournament reports on Top Tier. Go ahead and comment on Facebook if you'd like a link to it. But what we're about to talk about is detailed pretty heavily in those tournament reports. So if you get a chance, read those. We're not going to talk about the drive down there because we just mainly talked about what we thought was going to be the meta down there and what we were going to do to tech against Cell, because we thought that was going to be very heavy down there. And come to find out, we don't have to worry about Cell.
There's someone still in this room who thinks Cell is a threat still, though.
Who's that?
Jordan.
Oh. Well,
you know, Cell's definitely not... He's not bad. It's just, I think he's been overrated by the community as a whole.
I completely agree with that. I mean, look at the match between Strider and myself. He got to level 3 second combat, and it was still a blowout. I still had at least 45 cards in deck when it was done. Obviously, I got some pretty good draws, but still, even getting to level 3, wasn't able to hit me with the stall combo. So, yeah, he could get up there pretty fast. He just has to have the right engine to get going. So let's go back to the tournament. We got there around 10 o'clock a.m. expecting... I guess we're spoiled. Because when we get to a big event at up here in Vacaville at Forgotten Path Games, they're already open. People are already opening packs, writing out deck lists, talking about time travel in the show. had like 6 cups of coffees already. So we're expecting to, you know, get there, chill out, rat out our deck list if we had to, do some trading, but no. It was a barren parking lot, to say the least, except for a few old people at the other end. And we didn't know where this place was. We see a sign that said MVP Games, but this was in a business park. So we didn't know, like, precisely what this MVP Games... They could have sold arcade machines. They could have been some video game retailer, manufacturer. But we get up to the window, and we see in a red construction paper sign, Dragon Ball sold here.
Wow.
So we knew we were at the right place.
Yeah, or either that or was like a very well designed trap to, you know, put it to sleep and steal our kidneys when we got inside. I don't know.
Yeah, like a whole elaborate ruse to take out NorCal.
Yeah.
And we were just drawn to the sign. We took some. I'll put some pictures I took up. I took some pictures of the shop. It's pretty awesome. And we peered in the window, and it looked like there were snacks. So it was kind of like a trap. They had cup of noodles. They had soda. They had ice cream.
Dang.
And we were like, so there's got to be a different entrance. This can't be the main entrance because it looked like the back storeroom. We walk around the whole business park, don't find any doorways. And we're like, you know what? This has to be it. We decide to go get some breakfast, and all this time, Peter Danger Salmons is texting me, like, are you there? You know, where are you? I'm like, yeah, we're here. And, you know, he texts me when we're at breakfast, and he's like, I'm here. And he put a sad face because no one else was there. He thought that we would be there, but he decided to go get breakfast. And then we come back, and we got Kelly put a message on Facebook, like, something like, we're here, where's everybody at, or something like that. And then the owner replied back, be there shortly. And then a few minutes later, on our way. So he gets there, and he's like, you know what, this is my fault, guys. I meant to say, tournament doesn't start at 12, we open at 12. I mean, that's a kind of a big difference.
It's a very big difference.
Because if the store opens at 12, you have to give at least an hour for deck registration.
Yeah.
Yes, Jordan. What?
Rare binders.
You could talk. It's not like you're forbidden to talking. Jordan's building his super secret ARG deck. Do we want to say what color, what style it is?
Sure.
It's orange. All
right,
so...
What's going on right now?
What's going on? I didn't hear about this drama.
Oh, I saw on Retro's group, there's a big post by Arvel Rowe about how basically ARG's manager is like the new Eric Giddings, and how he doesn't really care about the community, and how he just talks trash to people when they ask him questions or tells people that they're wrong. And
okay.
We also know ARG's not on the West Coast anyway, so I don't think any of us really care, but...
Right. We don't get the circuit series with the promos. We just get the state events. And it's funny. I actually decided to close off my viewing of the Facebook post for the Retro because 95% of those people are whiny bitches. Like, not only that, the questions that get asked there, I almost put a post on top tier. Can I block from seeing people's posts? Certain people post on top tier. I just can't stand. I mean, we could cut this out, but there's the...
I'm not cutting anything out.
The Show Repa guy, the Shoru Repa guy, I can't stand his posts. The Megiddo Spike guy from Canada, his decks are lousy. I mean, if I have to see... I do view new content, and if I have to see the pop-up of King of the Hill game, like, going back and forth still... I just want to block all that stuff out, but I don't know if you can. So there's certain people on top tier that I just can't deal with. There's about four of them. And like I just wish I could ignore the ruling questions because some of those are just off the wall. Like, what happens if a Dragon Ball gets banished from saying cheap shot? Just stuff like that just irks me. Like, there's a rule book. Every time I see a question like that, I want to post... It's in the rule book. Read it, and then you'll know the answer. But people always jump in and just give the answers right away. I guess I come... Yeah. In my place of employment, I do a lot of side-bys and training. And if I get asked a stupid question, I say, look in your manual, because that's where you'll find the answer. So I guess that's where that stemmed from. So, back to the tournament. Oh, was there anything else about the ARG event and stuff?
That pretty much summed up what everyone's complaining about, but They're basically calling for a boycott of all ARG events. That's how serious some of the people are.
Wow.
About it, so.
Huh. And
it's kind of funny to me because, I mean, we all know all the crazy stuff that Aaron used to say while being the OP manager of the game, and he used to piss off a lot of people, and yet no one really came out and did anything about it for the most part. And I think a lot of that has to do with a lot of the players that are upset now about this ARG guy are the players that were on the judge forums in the old game, and in the last season they were on the judge forums, and if you complain and you were on the judge forums, then now you weren't on the judge forums. So I think it's kind of ironic that now that the judge forums aren't relevant, that everyone's opening up their mouth about how they don't like this guy.
You know, it was kind of weird, too. When we went down to Texas at Worlds and did the ARG event, It was like a different atmosphere.
Yeah, it really was.
It was like a weird, ominous feeling.
Yeah, it really was. And I wanted to say it was because it was out of state. But even looking back at it, we went out of state for Oregon, and it was nothing like the Texas ARG. I think it was more money driven. I know I hate to say it was more money driven than Wild Things Games, but this place was like just a feeding frenzy for some reason. That's the way it felt like to me.
Yeah.
And we know the horrible prize support we got from Wild Things Games, even though I went 1-4 and scrubbed out, I wasn't looking for a prize, but. And then they let their own employees play in the tournament, which I thought was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you work here? Yeah, I work here. The guy with all the magic tattoos. I'm like, oh, are you a judge too? Yep. Okay. That's cool. Yeah, so we finally get to this Lancaster tournament MVP games. And he shows up and he apologizes. And it's about 11 o'clock. I say 11, and we, you know, we go in, we do some trading, the Vegas crew shows up, we've got Dustin and Peter show up, Dustin loses his anger sword, and he's angry about it, so we've got an angry giant on the loose.
Hulk.
Yeah. But the Gray Hulk, the nerdy one. But come to find out, his anger sword fell out of his car when he was getting out. And we didn't start the tournament until 11:30. We were waiting. Apparently, we were waiting for one of the guys, the Chicano guys I was telling you about on our other show, the one who wanted to renege on the trade. We were waiting for him to show up, apparently. And after he showed up, we got the first round started.
That kind of reminds me of flashbacks. Remember the first flashbacks tournament? We waited an hour for some supposed guy. What was his name?
Jason.
We waited an hour for him to show up, and he never showed up. That's why I kind of don't like going back to Joey's basement.
There's no Jason at Flashbacks.
There's no Jason at
Flashbacks. Never showed up. Every week he comes in.
Here, Jordan, King of Flashbacks, is chiming in. There's no Jason.
Yeah, so apparently there's no Jason, and they just wanted to, I don't know,
buy time.
It was like 7 o'clock after we did only three rounds. After I finished my third round and knew I was getting first, I said, "Brad, I'm going home. Just get my packs for me and open them."
Yeah.
And there are still other games going on. And
so, what was that Chicano guy running?
Shoot. Do you remember? I don't think you remember, Matt, the guy I was talking about. I think he was running Namekian Cell.
Oh.
Right there that day.
No, this is the guy in Lancaster. I don't know if it was one of...
Oh, that guy, the guy that was late.
Yeah, I think he was running... or was he running Black something?
I don't think I played him. He wasn't a Black Chrome player, right?
No.
The one that had the really bad Black Chrome list that we were all looking at, kind of glaring at, thinking, wow, that's awful.
I don't think so. No, I want to say he was playing Namekian Cell. Same with Troop.
One of the 8 Namekian Cell decks.
Yeah. Out of what, 36 people?
37, 36, something like that.
Yeah, so what do you want to hear about, Brad? You're the outside looking in.
Well, I've heard all about your matches. I'd like to hear about Matt's matches, if you can.
Well, let me try to remember all the details here, or the order at least, things. So my first match was against the Red Teen deck, and it was Red Teen Enraged. So I figured he was just gonna go straight for MPPV. I knew it was actually a really good matchup for me because I play against my Black Teen a lot, and Black Teen usually doesn't get off level one. All, granted, he has a lot less anger, but still, Black Teen I feel like has a little bit more first turn kill potential than Red Teen does. So, Angry Amateur just does really well against decks that are trying to kill you in one turn. So we went into the match, and he was pretty much what I thought he would be. He had a few cards that I wasn't expecting, like he played Pesky Barrage, probably just for the potential to crit twice with the card and gain a couple anger. And, you know, obviously if you... He had a backup strategy of definitely winning by beatdown. He had a trailing blast, which I thought was a little strange choice. But at the end of the game, he actually never made it off level one the entire game. I think he made it to level two. Almost at the very, very end of the game, he made it to level two, and at the very end of a combat, and I threw Gambit Ball 2 immediately after. And so I won by about 30 cards. He never really got anything going. So that was pretty free. It felt good. Felt good to be the first match. My second match, I also won. When you think about who it was a Mannequin Cell deck, one of the three that I ended up playing against. It was the one Mannequin Cell deck that didn't have spears because he couldn't afford them. However, he had...
That's not something to laugh about. Not everyone could afford spears. Don't laugh at that.
If he couldn't afford spears, he said he was going to borrow them, and last minute his buddy, I think, changed his mind or whatever. So, but the irony is spears aren't that good against me, as much so as what he put in the place of spears. So one of my big answers to sell is Roshi Ally and getting Roshi Ally out super fast, trying to basically bring him back in play. Because Mannequin Cell doesn't have a lot of ways to banish allies. He can destroy allies occasionally, but he can't really banish allies because usually they don't run Tug of War because they have to have their own allies in their deck. That's usually their strategy. So with that, you know, with that strategy, getting out Roshi could be devastating to pretty much any level that sells at. And Mannequin too. So I got out Roshi, which was great, and then I found out he's playing not only three gut punches and three Mannequin double strikes to crit, but he also had the new physical for seven stages. If it hits, can like banish two allies or destroy two allies.
Yeah.
So he has three of those in there, so his deck is loaded with anti-Roshi technology that I've never even seen before. And so Roshi was not as effective against him because he always had an answer whenever I got Roshi in play. However, I ended up winning the game because he did not have Sphere, and I realized he didn't have Sphere, and basically winning the game involved me visiting the past for a Sphere, knowing that the only blocks left in his deck were Hyper Defense, and he was going to start going crazy on me with my Hyper Defense Rejuvenate 4 cards, and he only had like 6 or 7 cards left in his deck, so I basically entered with a 9 life card Crushing Beam with a Sphere in hand, knowing that his only block left in his deck was Hyper Defense. that was round 2. Round 3, you already know about. I got paired up against Brandon and Blue Gang U, and that was kind of a nightmare. I knew that the matchup wasn't great for me. I made it significantly worse by taking out my physical block drill. I feel like the matchup is a lot more doable if I get that drill. If I get those two drills online, then I can kind of beat up a lot of Gang U's extra actions that he creates, and I feel like I can outvalue Gang U with the power of my attack, usually outvalue. And also, Roshi can be a fixed factor against Gang U. If I get an early Roshi, that could be huge. So there are definitely lines of play that win that matchup. I just did not see any of those lines of play at all, and I just got completely demolished in that game. And then Brandon won my bounty, because I had a bounty on my head, of course, because Jared and I had bounties. I don't know if you have already mentioned that before. And who else? Oh, the two SoCal, the gods of SoCal, Troop and Groot.
Yeah.
Noel, both had bounties. So all four of us had bounties on our head. And I feel Jared was the only one that won his own bounty. He went undefeated the entire tournament. So that was round 3. And round 4. against my own black team list. Yeah. I posted it the week before we went to the tournament, and I posted in hopes that somebody would think it's good and actually run the deck because it is good, but it can't beat Orange Yamcha. And so I was hoping, hey, maybe somebody will run this so I can beat it at a tournament. So sure enough, there it was. It was missing two cards. He didn't have the spheres, and instead he ran Mr. Choke because he couldn't afford the spheres. And so, I felt like that was a popular theme down there. I felt like a lot of people weren't committed enough.
Right.
Like, we want to play, but we're not really that competitive. But, you do what you can. So it was definitely the budget version. He still had Dix, though, which is kind of weird to have Dix and not Sphere. But, he played it pretty well. It's just not a good matchup for him. And he never really got any luck with his triggers, the black triggers, to get card advantage off team. And so I kind of just shut him down and won similarly to how I won against the red team deck. The black one does a little bit better, but not by much. So I was 3-1. I think we were all 3-1 at that point. Is that right? Were we all 3-1?
Yes.
So we were pretty hyped. And then was that the lunch break, or did we have a lunch break before that?
Lunch was after round 3.
Okay, so we were through, like, at the point where we were all 3-1, I really felt like there was a good shot that we were all going to make it to top cut and win the tournament and do well. And then I had to play against Troops, Namekin Cell, which was, just another Namekin Cell deck. The one thing that I would note about this build is he did have Visiting the Past, which I noticed a lot of Cell decks are skimping on Visiting the Past because they feel like they already have a lot of that stuff going on. Visiting the Past is actually pretty good against my strategy in Cell, because if I shut you down with Roshi and you have Visiting the Past in play, you kind of have like another chance to get an answer to Roshi. So it's like that one more chance. And Cell really only needs so many chances, and once this game's online, if he has at least one hybrid defense up this deck, then you can just kind of go to town. And Visiting the Past also provides another way to have one more access to another hybrid defense in the draw card.
Yeah.
So I feel like Visiting the Past is actually better than people. I was against Visiting the Past initially in Damage and Spell, but it really, when you're building a deck that relies on turning on an engine and getting it going, like Visiting the Past can help you have that one more chance to get that engine going. I'm for it. I think that was the right play, and that's actually what won me, was the fact that all his hybrid defenses were gone when he Visiting the Past for a hybrid defense once he got to a higher level. And was able to get his engine going, and I was up by about 30 life cards. But I think we all know how powerful that engine could be if it left unanswered. It came down to the point where I entered and I threw a giant heat energy with a sphere in hand, hoping that I could sphere the hybrid that I needed to have left in his deck. I counted, he had two spheres gone, he had about 20 cards left in his deck, so I knew his Visiting the Past were gone, so I knew if I sphered the hybrid, then that could be literally like game changing, because if all his hybrids are gone, plus I would bury the hybrid under a bunch of life cards of damage, so it can't just aerial me, get back into his deck, and then yeah, that probably would just win the game. But he had a spear. So that pretty much decided that match. It was literally another game in the tournament that was decided by spears. So if he didn't have the spear there, I feel like he probably would have lost. But I'm sure he probably felt the same way. But if I didn't, I needed a spear to win the game at that point. So it was on both ends. And so I lost that game. So I was 3-2. I think you guys were both 4-1. So there's still a lot of hype going into the final round. So then the final round was, yeah. So because we played one extra round than we were supposed to.
Yeah, yeah. We played six.
We have no idea what they're doing.
Six rounds for 37 players.
Nice.
So yeah, I guess we drove all that way. None of us could really complain about it, but it was kind of silly to go against normal tournament regulations. But none of us were really upset about it because we all kind of felt like, well, at least like we got one more chance, I guess, to get the top cut. So we ended up playing the last round, and I got paired up against Justin. Once again, another Namekin Cell deck. I actually like his build a lot. He had Pulverize in the deck, a couple Pulverize, so he had more of a chance to get his engine going quicker. He had more ways to get, Leaping Kick out early and then really go to town. So, but otherwise, his deck looked a lot like Troops deck, not a lot of ally hate. So that played into Roshi, and I got Roshi online in that matchup twice. I actually got Roshi online. when he got to his upper levels, was able to turn off his engine. And then I actually, and of course, cell level 3 is usually the answer. You can land that crit, but you're never going to land cell level 3's power against Yamcha. Like, I have so many ways to stop a physical attack, it's funny. but yeah, so I was able to turn off his engine, and I actually stayed an overpowering attack, like, throughout the entire game after I got Roshi out. So the moment that Roshi left, he was coming back. And it actually kind of came down to, at the very end, I had an opportunity to crit away his Nappa, and I totally forgot that Nappa was there, and I crit his anger. And then he crit me back, and I had a Roshi in play, and he forgot that Roshi was in play. And he had a chance to actually get rid of Roshi. He only had about 7 or 8 cards left in his deck, and I had quite a bit left. But, I mean, once again, we all know how powerful Cell is once the engine gets going, so it was possible that he could have came back. I did draw, like, an expert assistant later down, realized Nappa was in play when I could have killed him, had a completely dead card when it didn't need to be, and then he injured, and he was just about to use his Cell level 4 power to tutor, and I reminded him, hey, Roshi's still playing. He's like, oh my gosh, I could have killed Roshi. So there was that double, like, moment where we both made misplays, but it did result in me winning, which is good. And that was my Swiss. That was my Swiss round. That was the end of the tournament for me. 4-2. Ninth place.
Yeah, we looked at the standings, and I was like, we all made it. We all made top 8. And then, of course, here comes Death's Mind, the goofiest looking guy at the tournament. Hey, you counted me as a tie in this round when that should have been a win. So that bumped him up to 8th place and Matt out.
Aww.
Yeah. And to be fair, like, I don't think that Death's Mind would have done anything shady, just because I met him, I know him, from the OCG game
right. In
the past, and he's a pretty cool guy, but with that said, like, the way the tournament was ran, it would have been incredibly easy to be super shady in that spot, because especially if you're from SoCal, you play your buddy in round 2 or 3, and you say to your buddy, hey, let's just tie, because that way, if we both tie, they're not taking match slips anyway, so they have no proof of matches, so we'll just say we tied up at the desk. And then at the end of the tournament, whichever one of us is in contention for top cut, if that tie's a win, then the other guy just goes up and says, oh, no, I lost that match. That wasn't a tie.
Right.
And then suddenly you have the situation where you can benefit both friends if they play each other by saying that they tied early, and then at the end of the tournament changing it to a win. And there'd be absolutely no evidence to prove otherwise. That can, you know. And so to me, I thought of that immediately because I'm and I think of these evil ways in order to manipulate the system. And I thought, well, he could have done this. And everybody looked at me like, oh, he wouldn't have done that. And I was like, well, he probably wouldn't have done that. But I'm just saying, like, considering I'm from Northern California and you guys hate us, and he's from Southern California, and this whole tournament is ran in a shady way, I'm not 100% sure that didn't happen. So.
Yeah, there were no match slips. That's right.
What?
No, to report your win, you had to go up there and say, I won. Brandon B. won. And they'd write it down on a little piece of paper, or they'd enter it right there in the computer.
It was a big local.
Yeah, so, and I don't want DeathMind to think I'm calling him out saying he's a liar, because I don't think he's bad. I'm about 99% positive he didn't do that. But the fact that it could be done, and I was in a position where if it was done, it would have been obviously detrimental to my tournament, and the fact that we were in, like, enemy territory, and who knows what they were doing behind that computer, you know?
And money's on the line, too, so that's another factor.
Yeah, definitely.
And I don't think we really even talked about the vaping competition that was going on at that tournament.
Are you serious?
Every person there, first of all,
was Buck there?
Buck was not there.
And they had a vaping competition without Buck?
Okay. They had about nine people behind the counter at that shop.
What? Overkill. Were they employees or just like friends?
I don't know. But every single one of them would take the hit off the vape and just blow it everywhere in the store.
You know what flavor it was?
They had many different flavors.
You just smelled them all.
Yeah, there were different flavors. Like, you couldn't get used to one.
You couldn't get used to one. They kept... Maybe that's what they were trying to do, distract you guys.
Yeah. And what I really liked about that tournament was a cool guy couch. Like, along the back wall, near the big shutters that open, was this leather couch. And, like, only the cool guys sat there.
Oh, man.
Like, Ty, who I lost to in the sixth round. There was Groot that sat there with his, I think his brother. Troop sat there a few times. Like, I was very intimidated to sit on that couch.
Yeah. only if you're wearing LA Dodgers jersey,
you're
allowed to sit on that couch.
Yeah, all the SoCal people were wearing Dodger jerseys.
Gross. Did you want to go about your trade?
I guess. I mean, I guess I'm still a little upset about that. I talked about it on the way home, too, about how the person we waited for talked me down from $18 for three Namekian Clash promos to $12. I was like, fine, I'll do it. I wanted 15. I mean, I wanted 18, then went down to 15. He said he only had 12 on him. So, I made the trade.
We have extras of those, too. So $12, for, that's pretty good.
Yeah, so 2 minutes later, he comes back. He's like, I hate to be that guy, but can we trade back? You want to buy these back from me? I said, no. Why would I want to buy those back from you? I'm trying to offload as many cards as I can.
Do you say back, no trade backs?
No, I didn't say that. I just said no. And then he's like, come on. I said, no. He's like, I'm not tripping off of $12.
Yeah. And he walked away?
Yeah, he walked away. I guess his friend had a ton of them that he was going to give to him, apparently.
Well, he wasn't that good of a friend if he didn't know about it yet.
Yeah. I mean, I guess. Yeah, I mean, whatever. Nothing much more we could say about that. Did you want to hear about anything else?
Kelly went, he got second?
Yes.
And he was running Orange Yamcha?
So they decided to split and they just played for a first second.
Uh-huh.
Jarrett had three cards left in deck. I don't think he had any blocks left. Kelly had a playful punch in hand.
Jarrett had one card in hand, but it was unknown.
Yeah, right, so we don't know. It probably wasn't a block. So Kelly passed. He discarded down. It was a Namek ball. Put that on bottom. Four cards left in deck. Kelly only had like one or two cards left, or three.
Uh-huh.
So he could have won if he would have done that attack.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a couple other misplays early in the tournament, like early in that round, where I saw Kelly play, because we both were playing the exact same list, and I was watching him play, and all I do is play against Black Girl with that list, so I kind of know the matchup, like, in and out. He let a racing girl sit on board for half the game when he had to answer, like, multiple times. But, I just feel like when Kelly went into that game, as soon as they started to split the pot, Kelly's brain was like, okay, turn off.
Yeah.
The tournament's over, we just split the pot, it doesn't matter anymore. So, but then all of a sudden at the very end of the round, brain just turned back on and he still almost won the game, even though he was not playing well the first half. But, what can you do?
Yeah, and that's the trouble with splitting the pot. I feel like you don't play with your full heart and your full head when you know that it's just for fun. But I'm sure if he didn't split the pot, maybe he could have pulled that one out.
He probably would have. Yeah. I mean, there's a 95% chance he would have won that game.
Yeah, Kelly's a really smart player.
Yeah, and it's really funny because the game right before he played Jarrett, he had to play against that crazy black Perceptive Trunks deck. And he played out of his mind good against that matchup. Because that matchup's very confusing, and I doubt he's ever actually play tested against that deck, but he was like all over that matchup. He played it perfectly. I watched that game and I was like, man, you didn't make one single mistake. Everything you did, I would have done, and maybe you did some things that were right that I wouldn't have even thought about. So, and then right after that, he went and played that horrible game against Jarrett. But it was a burnout game, I think, for him. But at the end of the day, I mean, he didn't lose any money out of it, so.
Is there anything else you wanted to talk about, Matt?
No, not really. I mean, it was fun. We had fun. It was great to see all the guys again. It was great to make fun of Groot a little bit again about the whole, running zero stare downs in the deck. But other than that,
So what's up with that ally that allows your players to end combat?
Oh, the new previews they're talking about, the new ally? Dude, if that's an Android ally, I'm going to build an Android 17 deck again. The return of, like, the embodiment of Black Nappa.
Yeah.
Come back as Android 17.
Brad said...
It better be Yamcha's rescue, though. If it doesn't work against rescue, then it's useless.
Right.
I don't think it will, because doesn't Yamcha's rescue get around Blue Battle Drill?
Yeah, but I think Black Battle Drill says card effects, and I think the ally is going to say effects, which I think works against
parentheses. That would work against it, yeah. That's cool. I would still run that in my Ginyu deck.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That'd be another great addition to Blue Ginyu. I mean, my goodness, like, have that on a stick, just pull that out when you need it.
And the ally that says MP levels can't jump?
Yeah, that against that one. Blue Ginyu is honestly just those two allies alone. That's such a big buff to Blue Ginyu.
Yeah.
Because I feel like those are the two ways you lose.
Yep. Especially
against. Here's the two ways Ginyu loses, and here's two answers for you. Ally form.
Especially that those orange decks who like to jump with Devouring Drill. Oh, man.
Like 20?
Yeah. Yamcha.
Yeah, so I think that's it, yeah?
Yeah.
All right, well, it's going to wrap it up for episode 23 of Pod Z CCG. Until next time, keep rocking the dragon. Thanks for coming on, Matt.
Thanks for having me.
Yep. All right, we'll talk to you later.